Universität Hamburg.
Good afternoon. Sir, these days I see that most people are speaking about exascale, so I don't know, maybe everybody knows how to build 10 petaflop machine. I'm not sure. Anyway, I will speak about some things that are behind our upcoming system that we hope to will be introduced next year. And I will speak how we think it is possible to build 10 petaflop with standard architecture and mostly standard hardware. First, a bit background. So right now we have 1.3 petaflop system in Moscow State University. And eventually this system was upgraded two times. So it was first introduced in 2009 with 420 teraflop of peak performance. Right now this system is hybrid and it is running both CPUs and GPUs. But right now I will speak mostly about the system based on just on the CPUs. First, let's do some calculations. So having the dual CPU node performance right this year about 300 gigaflops, and in 2012 it will be probably about 370 gigaflops. So we need about 32K nodes just to build the system. 32K nodes, it's pretty big amount of CPUs, and we need a very high node density to build the system in a limited space. Because, of course, if you need more space, you need longer cables, it will be much more difficult to install the systems. So let's assume that we will have 256 nodes in one cabinet, so we need 128 cabinets just to build the system. And the power consumption will be around 100 kilowatts. So based on what we have right now in our current products, we assume that we will use a rack-based solution with internal high-voltage DC power infrastructure. And we are planning to divide the system power in several power zones to provide more redundancy. On the cooling side, cooling more than 80 kilowatts per rack, it's also not easy solution. We are able to cool up to 70 kilowatts just using air cooling, and you can see the system on our booth, but we think that with increasing compute density, anyway, we need water cooling, and moreover, hot water cooling, just because we also need to get better power usage efficiency. With hot water, we will have several other problems, like the problem with thermal isolation of the cabinet, because we need to prevent the heat dissipation into the data center. We need to think that everything should be water-cooled, nodes, switches, power supplies, and also we need to think that all the components on this, on the boards should be cooled properly. Because with 50 degrees of water temperature, the air temperature between the heat sink and the system board will be around 60 or maybe even 70 degrees. What we have right now, we have some working prototype with liquid cooling, and we also think how to increase the system reliability, because if you have 32K nodes, and for example, if you have water connectors per each node, so then you need 64K just water connectors. So the probability of leakage in this situation is very high. So what we are using in the prototype, we aggregate the cold plates, and we don't use water connectors for each compute node. In the future system, we will implement something similar with the technology will be a bit different, but it will be based on what we have right now. For the networks, right now we are evaluating the possible network topologies, because if we are using InfiniBand, so most of the systems are built using FAT3 topology, but if we will use FAT3 topology with full bisectional bandwidth, so the cost just of the network will be very high. Right now we are looking into some modern topologies like flattened butterfly. It will decrease the cost of the network about 50%, just the rough estimation based on current prices for the switch chips and cables. Also, it's possible to use the torus topology. It will be even more cheaper, but it will have high latencies compared with butterfly. We will use a second auxiliary network for the data storage access and for the remote access to the nodes. And for the auxiliary network, we think to use just InfiniBand with oversubscribed FAT3 and probably with over subscription ratio, something like 8-1. And the last network is out of band management, needed to control the overall system. Of course, building the multi-petaflop solution, it's not only to build the hardware, and we are working a lot on the software side as well. So what we have right now in-house, we have Clustrix Meta operating system. So basically it's Linux, but with a very scalable management and monitoring software, which is capable to run on the system with, say, up to hundreds of thousands of nodes. Also, we have a low jitter Linux kernel as a part of the Clustrix, but we may use some standard Linux kernel as well. For the custom kernel, we have improved memory management, and we are working further to in this direction. For the Clustrix, it runs right now on Moscow State University system, and Clustrix is capable to get the monitoring data about 300 metrics per one node per second. So it's near real-time system monitoring, and including everything, not only the compute nodes, but also all communication equipment, infrastructure, etc. And for the programming support, right now we have a custom library called dsliv, which is something like distributed shared memory library. And we have pretty good results on the Moscow State University system, for example, running the Graph 500 benchmark. I believe the results will be announced soon. So basically, probably that's all I want to say right now. And you can just come to our booth and discuss the things. You can look our systems as well. Thank you very much.
Many thanks, Mr. Lipuin. The first question is now coming from Happy Sitole.
Thank you, Andre. I would take that one of the ambitions of T platform is to penetrate the market on HPC outside Russia. And I would be interested to hear how efficient is your design, your cooling design at that hot water cooling of 50 degrees. Have you considered if you go outside in other conditions, how are you going to keep that efficiency and consider the local environment?
So actually, having high water cooling, hot water cooling design, we solve two problems. The first one is to improve the power usage efficiency by using free cooling almost all the time across the year. So with 50 degrees, it's enough to cool the system efficiently, say, in Russia or in Europe. I'm not sure in South Africa, because what kind of temperature do you have? Is 50 degrees enough? And the second goal we need to solve is just to provide the possibility to utilize the heat. And we also have some ideas on the data center level how to get energy from dissipated heat in the system.
Satoshi, please, for the second question.
Yeah, this is a similar question. Here, HP or IBM or companies with very large volume, then it's fairly easy to leverage the volume parts of business, which is like the cloud, to use that volume to actually decrease cost of your system when you even build, when you semi-customize for HPC. And in addition, companies like IBM and HP, they are working on very similar technologies to yours, like hot water cooling that's being done with LRC. HP just demonstrated they have very efficient air cooling, free cooling solution. What would T platform not having that, the advantage, not having advantage of extreme volume, what would be your strategy? Because smaller companies like Cray are investing in their proprietary technologies to make a difference in the market. So what would be your strategy? Where will your investment be to combat the large companies like IBM and HP in a very similar space?
Okay, so our strategy, first of all, we are a relatively small company, and we are much more flexible than big companies like HP or IBM. And this flexibility allows us to reduce the cost significantly. We don't spend hundreds of millions dollars for our R&D. I will not speak about the exact numbers, but the R&D cost, for example, just for our T-Blade 2 system used for the Moscow State University, about an order of magnitude less than a similar system from other vendors. And we are investing a lot, we are still investing a lot, and we have some plans on future developments, not only on the system level and board level. We are thinking about some chip design in the future, but it's not for next year, maybe in 3 years perspective.